testify to their fragmentary character.
I was thinking of some of your essays which use a quasi-fragment type of structure. You know, some of the essay on Beaver Saadi, for instance, which was extremely effective that way, and various others, which are part of that whole feeling, though, of changing it now to the fragment area, which gives you a sense of the fullness and completeness of a body of work by using the form which seems to be, and by its incompleteness, suggestive of the completeness, you know, that kind of sense.
Well, I think there's something very honorable about the fragment, the form of the fragment, and that it does. It points to the gaps. It points to the spaces. It points to the silences between things. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, one could say that it is a decadent. I mean, literally decadent. I don't mean decadent in the moral sense, but literally decadent. That is. It's a decadent style in the sense that it presupposes. It's the style of the end of an era, of an era in the sense of a civilization or a tradition of thought or sensibility. Presupposes that one knows and has experienced a great deal, so that a lot can take place by means of illusion.
Yeah.
Well, that's decadent in that sense, because you have to have all this stuff behind you so that you are commenting on it. You don't have to spell it out. It's not an art form or a thought form of young cultures, because then they have to make everything very explicit. But we know a lot. We know a lot, and we're aware of a multiplicity of perspectives. That's one way of acknowledging that. I feel very restless in a linear, in the essay form, in a sort of linear argument. I feel that I have to make things more sequential than they really are, because my mind does jump around, and it's much more like the spokes of a wheel, the way an argument appears to me more like the spokes of a wheel than like the links of a chain. And yet the nature of a page, of, you know, reading in page form is that you start on the left and go down the page and move up and to the right side and go down again and turn the page and turn the left side. I can't think of a better way to do it. I'm not suggesting that one should abandon the sequence of pages. But it's a way of getting something, well, like what Joseph Frank called many years ago, spatial form. It's very complicated, the question of fragment.
Because I was also thinking of the fragments of Archilochus, Archilochus and Sappho, and all those things, which actually would both bolster your argument in a way, because those things were destroyed by time in a way, rather than by their, I mean, you have little poems, it's true, but they still, sometimes you just get a little remnant, which is so elusive, as you
put
it.
That's because we are sensitive. We are sensitive to the fragment form. These are fragments which are created by mutilation or by history. We have to assume that these works were not written as fragments. They became fragments because things were lost. But we are sensitive to that form. I mean, it seems to me that Venus de Milo would never have become so famous if she had her arms.
I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
It starts in the 18th century when people see the beauty of ruins. One thing, I suppose the love of the fragment first had to do with a certain sense of the pathos of history, the ravages of time, because what appeared to people in the form of fragments were works, parts of which had been lost or destroyed or dropped away. Now, of course, it's possible to create a possible and indeed very persuasive to people to create work in the form of fragments. When in the 18th century people put on their, rich people put on their properties artificial ruins. So fragments in the world of thought or art are like artificial ruins.
Well, photography, no? Which is, I thought, your point about that.
Yeah, well, I think photography comes in the form of a fragment. I mean, the nature of the still photograph is that it has the mental status of a fragment. I mean, of course, it is a thing in itself, and it's complete in itself. But in relation to time, to the passage of time, it becomes a fragment. It's that, let's say, that fragment of the past, that telling fragment of from what is left of the past, this picture. Yes, we were so happy then when we were standing there, and you were wearing that, and I was wearing a very thin. Look how young we were, and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, when people take it, they don't take it in that spirit, obviously. But time changes like that.
Yeah, you have a beautiful line about that, very simple in your writing. Oh, God. Well, actually, Unguided Tour is a lot about that, too, isn't it, really? Well,
just, a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I have come to feel that the essays and the fiction are, you know, do share common concerns. I must tell you that I've never been aware of that as I've been writing them. The essays and the fiction. But I realize there are things about photographs and The Benefactor. And Unguided Tour is about that. The material is that touristic sensibility,
yeah.
Which the picture taker, the camera user on trips, you know, exemplifies.
Can I want to go from here.